Howdy, neighbors, and welcome to another Ag Perspectives podcast. I'm Ron Hayes. Thank you for joining us today. And we're coming to you today from the 2019 American Angus Convention held in Reno, Nevada. Our guest today, Stuart Bach with Neogen. We're back with Dr. Bach in just a moment.
Hi, my name is Debbie Arthur, and I'm a dairy farmer from Paul's Valley. From producing the best milk possible to giving back, dairy farmers are committed to our communities. Each year, dairy farmers like myself help feed those in need, making sure they are provided with nutritious milk and dairy foods at their holiday meals. To learn more about dairy farmers' commitment to you and their communities, visit DairyMax.org.
We're talking today with Dr. Stuart Bach from Neogen, and your title is Vice President of Agrigenomics for Neogen. What is an agrigenomic?
Well, good question. So the business that we're involved in is genomic testing for animal applications. And obviously, you know, cattle is a big piece of that. Angus is a big piece of that. And so what I do is I am responsible for a global network of laboratories providing genomic testing services for animal breeders in a variety of different species in six different locations around the world.
Now, you were telling the folks here at this American Angus Convention that it's been about 10 years since you were collaborating and kind of at the headwaters of this genomically enhanced EPD revolution that we've got going on in the cattle industry these days.
Yeah, I was very blessed years ago in 2009 to have the opportunity with Bill Bowman and Sally Northcutt at the Angus Association to introduce the very first genomic enhanced EPDs, and it was really a technology that was easy to apply, cost effective, and had as its goal to improve the accuracy of selection for economically relevant traits in young animals. And you know, when you look at the success that is certified Angus beef and you look at the improvements in the CAB acceptance rate, there's no doubt that that progress and that capture of market share would not have been possible were it not for the application of genomic technologies on behalf of breeders. And, you know, it was new, it was slightly disruptive, a little bit transformative in terms of the technology. People were, you know, justifiably a little bit nervous about, you know, what it would do. But I think the ensuing 10 years have shown us that, you know, it has delivered on its promise of being able to provide tools to identify genetic merit early in life and shorten the generation interval so we can accelerate genetic improvement to meet the demands for beef consumption in the future.
So this technology directly can be tied back to the improvement in carcass quality.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, when you look at, in 2009, CAB acceptance rates were 23%. And when you look at what's happened to CAB acceptance rates now over the ensuing 10 years, today it's at 35%. That's over a 50% increase in CAB acceptance rate. Well, I can guarantee you, you know, much as feedlot operators would like to think it's them, it is not them. It is strictly a function of Angus breeders that have embraced the technology, focused their selection intensity onto traits of economic significance, such as marbling, and delivered bulls to the commercial industry that are producing the cattle that are going into the feed yard. And those cattle have the genetics to perform. That's up to the feedlot to manage them appropriately and let them express that genetic potential. But, you know, that is the thing that has changed. There's just no doubt about that in my mind.
As you've been able to be a part of this revolution, this rapid advancement of this technology, what does that mean back to that cattle producer, but, you know, both the seed stock man, but also the commercial man?
You know, it, really two things. You know, for the seed stock producer, he has to use all available technology to produce an animal that will deliver on the promise that he makes to that cow-calf producer. And, you know, a very reputable Angus breeder one time told me, you know, I use genomic technology because, you know, if I sell a bull to a rancher in my area and on the promise that he's a heifer bull and he turns out to be a cow killer, I'm never going to sell another bull again. And so my cattle are my reputation, and I want to make sure that if you buy those genetics and if you buy that bull and you and I tell you he's going to do this for your herd, then he better darn well deliver on that. And the transformational change has been the adoption of genomic technology that's allowed us to make that decision at a much earlier age with a much higher degree of accuracy. Now, I will always caution you, you can never get away from the need to continue to phenotype animals. We have got to continue to gather the grist for the mill, which is the data, the phenotypic observations of the animals, because when that gets married up with the genotypes, then we really have true innovation. We can't do it just strictly with genomics, but we need the cattle producer. And, you know, to the credit of Angus breeders, they've been willing participants. And as I said this morning, what has now become, you know, the largest beef cattle genomics research project in history, because that's what it is. You know, that database of phenotypes and genotypes is just an amazing treasure trove that can be mined for future genetic improvement within the breed.
So literally, as the producers participate by simply being a part of the EPDs, the genomically enhanced EPDs, they are actually helping advance the science.
Absolutely right. And then, you know, in academia, if you contribute to something, you get your name on the paper. And, you know, if somebody starts publishing a paper on results from the Angus database, I suppose, you know, 16,000 Angus breeders should have their name on the scientific publication. I don't think that's going to happen. But you know, the truth of the matter is that it is that. And so the point I wanted to make this morning, as we introduced the upgrade to the Angus GS, you know, which was a product, a tool, and a solution that was developed precisely for Angus cattle. You know, what's important is we've incorporated additional content on there that will drive the innovation and discovery. So every animal that we genotype now with those additional SNP markers, you know, is an animal that will drive new innovation in the future. And you know, as I said this morning, you know, we've been able to increase the density of the SNP markers by almost 25,000 SNPs, or nearly 50%. And that's impressive by any stretch of the imagination.
You know, we talk about the amount of data that you're gathering, these additional SNPs. It seems like we're just it's just astronomical how we're pushing those numbers up.
Yeah, so as I described in my talk this morning, you know, one of the things that had to happen was, you know, there's disruptive technology, and genomics was disruptive technology. And one of the things that it disrupted was, you know, our thinking about how we conduct a traditional genetic evaluation. And up to that point, we had a particular model and we had a particular way we managed data. But as genomics began to come in, it became patently obvious to all of us that, you know, the old model wasn't going to work and we were going to have to build a new model. So what I can say is part of what drives innovation is adjacent technologies. So, you know, we've developed new statistical models to handle the information. And along the way, we've also developed cloud computing. And so now we can take literally millions of genotypes, upload them into the cloud, and we have scientists now that have been trained over the last 10 years to actually work with big data. So the keynote speaker this morning, Terry Jones, was talking about disruptive technologies and AI and big data. And, you know, I'm telling you that one of the poster child industries for big data is genomics, because we're generating literally millions and millions of data points for every animal, and we've had to develop the models, the methodologies, the statistical tools, and the data management capability to be able to handle all that. But if you can do it, right, man, the world is your oyster.
Referred back to that decade back, those early days of genomically enhanced EPDs, what's it going to look like 5 to 10 years down the road?
Wow. You know, that's a great question. And, you know, what one thing I can tell you, I will guarantee you that 5 years from now, you know, where you and I might be talking about a chip that would deliver 75,000 SNPs, I will tell you that, you know, 5 years from now, we'll be talking about 50 million SNPs per animal, and ultimately, you know, the next step is a full sequence, where we'll be generating almost 3 billion data points for every animal, and when we have that, we essentially have, if you will, the code of life. And that's going to be able to, without modifying it, it's going to be able to allow us to identify those animals with the superior attributes and propagate them for the betterment of the breed. And there was a talk this morning from Dr. Heinz in Australia, talking about immune function. And, you know, we've talked about it for a decade. Well, you know, genomics, the low-hanging fruit's been looked after. We're going to get to the difficult-to-measure traits, like, you know, blah, blah, you know.
And then, we've heard that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But trust me, I've been spouting it for years. And but you know, what I saw this morning, and I have some familiarity with the application of that technology in dairy cattle with the Immunity Plus product, and I will guarantee you that's real. And so we are going to be able to absolutely identify and select animals for improved health. And as we face a future with reduced access to antimicrobials, it is incumbent upon all of us to be using, you know, these kinds of tools like genomic technologies to make sure that we're producing cattle, selecting cattle that have the fitness to be able to survive and thrive without things like antimicrobials.
Dr. Stuart Bach with Neogen, talking with us on the sidelines at the American Angus Convention in Reno, Nevada. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.